We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Deanne Burley Show, live here on Truth Radio. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Phone Show, which is phoneshow.com. Visit my website, which is Deanne, B as in boy, URLEYSHOW.com, my website, and you can hear the stream for my program there. Now, Phone Show is pretty unique. If you dial in, if you're on your cell phone, and you press where it says Radio Talk Shows, and you find my icon there, click on that, and you'll get a text message, and anytime my show comes on, you'll be text, and you can hear the show live streamed on your cell phone. Wonderful technology. And, folks, this is Friday, called Black Friday for whatever purpose, and we're going to be talking about a very dark subject, and that has to be in regards to what's going on with all the children that are being gathered up and put into foster care and immediate so-called children family care shelters around the country. Now, I've been dealing with people like in Illinois, this woman by the name of Sheila Mannix. She's a psychiatrist, and she's been involved with the cases that have been hitting the Illinois courts in regards to the issue of people's children being removed. There are people in California that I've been working with in my broadcast in regards to the issue, which is not taken really lightly, of family court in regards to the people that have been charged with a neglect or different charges or their children being removed due to divorce and things. They are not getting a fair shake in these courtrooms. Why? Now, it seems that there's hundreds of billions of dollars into this game plan of family services and what they do within. Now, I want to say something here that I've talked about before. I'm a former deputy clerk of a circuit court in Illinois. Worked in that court system for quite a time, and I also worked for one of the law firms I worked for was the largest one in the world, okay, in regards to conflict of interest I was involved in, and I've seen a lot of case matter, and I've been involved with many people in various areas of either law enforcement or areas that deal with children and family services, not only dealing with that, but also criminal allegations. Now, there's been rumors and information of corruption and malfeasance of law and people not having their due process of law and rights in these judicial courts around the country. I'm bringing a case to you that I have been reporting on these shows, and I think it's very important for you to listen, because the thing is, this kind of scenario happened back in Adolf Hitler's Germany. The children, the Ostensgruppen, and children of Hitler's Germany were taken away from their families. And the same thing happened in other arenas just before we went into war, throughout different scenarios of us having gone through financial crises in this country. Today, you have more and more people homeless on the street due to this credit default swap nightmare that came off of Wall Street. People are losing their homes all over the country. Though it is Black Friday and people are out there buying, there are a lot of people on the other end losing their homes to foreclosure as we speak. Because people end up on the street and they have nowhere to go and they can't find housing. Indeed, there are soup kitchens and places that you can lay your head on the floor for an 8-hour stretch called pads. But what do they do for the long success of getting people off the street and putting them into a place that they can call home and function from and be functional adults and citizens? Now, one of these places happened to be in Arkansas. One of these places, in fact, was very successful in its membership. They had placed people in housing. They had given them medical care and treatment. They had the children in daycare, and the people were working either in the ministries or outside. It was not a situation of a compound. Compound to me is a little different than what I'm being told from outside and inside. And this is a story, a very deep story, complex story, of how women and husbands and wives were living on campus at this ministry. The children were there. And how a military coup came in, similar to what happened to David Koresh. They came in their ministry with guns, scaring the children, similar to what happened to David Koresh. They came in there and plucked these children out of their environment. Now, what was the cause? They were saying that the pastor was involved with this and the pastor was involved with that. A 74-year-old man that has limited sight because he's considered legally blind. He didn't really live on the campus. He was traveling about and spent some of his time in California and elsewhere, and I'm talking about Pastor Tony Alamo. Now, why I have brought this on my show, well, the thing that bothers me is I have a gentleman that I have in Arkansas that does a radio broadcast for me, a homeless radio broadcast, can't get any housing, no assistance, in the military, was out of the military, went in to try to get help from even the so-called veterans aid group for soldiers or military men that have problems. They don't have any housing. Another guy named Dennis had some housing down there. They shut him down because they found reason to cut him out of the equation down there because they don't want people to be successful in helping people out. Now, this ministry, Tony Alamo's ministry, though it was not totally mentioned in the media, they were providing housing, safe haven for people, medical treatment, jobs, and the things that anybody in America would want. Plus, it gave them a basis of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Now, I have on my show tonight three individuals. I want you to hear their stories. They were there. This is an inside scoop. They were there when these people came in to the ministry and removed their children. And this is what I'm trying to say. This isn't a situation I'm trying to glorify my show or do anything like that. I am a woman with they had children. I'm a grandmother. And I've seen things out here very scary going on with people's children. They're being plucked up and put into children's services, and those children are not well taken care of. Now, I had a situation in Chicago I want to bring up. There was a Children and Family Services department here. They were operating, and they had a gentleman that was a priest that was operating a DCFS facility on the north side of Chicago. I was very involved with the CAP program, the police program in the area of Lakeview, and I know what I'm talking about, folks. Within that facility that they had that was sponsored, the minister, the pastor, the Catholic priest that put this together and his and the nun tried to do the best they could, and the government orchestrated them. They put too much on them. They threw everybody they could at them to put into these facilities, which were understaffed and could not control what was going on in their environment. Those children, by the way, were having sex with other children in the facility. They're witnesses that work there, that I know, that work in the government. They came back and said not only were the kids having sex with the other kids in there that were anywhere from teenagers down, but there were also allegations of workers having sex with these children. Foster homes were getting huge amounts of money from the state to be operative. And these kids were bunched up in people's houses where the people in the houses were getting anywhere from $750 to $2,000 a kid. And the kids were being tormented. More, and that's just putting it mildly. There is a problem with the system, and for them to think that they can go into people's environment and pull out guns, and I mean high-power weapons, as though they're going into an Iraqi war field, I have problems with. And this is the reason why I'm bringing these folks on, and I want you to hear their story, because, see, there is something consciously wrong that we are allowing this to go on unquestioned. Now, I have Jane and John Doe on, and I have another gentleman by the name of George. What happened is that when this nightmare occurred back in September, they came in claiming that Pastor Alamo's ministry had porno. They found nothing, but they still took the children out. Then later on, they went after Pastor Alamo, saying that he had taken and transported a teenage girl across state lines. Okay? That is still under investigation. And there are allegations of things that they have not found anything on. And one of the parents here, they weren't even on the list for the parents that they were supposed to remove the kids. They just grabbed the people's kids, and they can't see them. Now, the first person I'm going to have on here is Jane. Jane, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jane, and welcome to the Deanne Burley Show. And, Jane, I want you to describe that what happened the day that you went into the court in regards to your children with this nightmare.
At the probable cause hearing or right when they were stolen from me?
When they were taken from you.
Okay. I was in a court to testify on behalf of George's daughter that there was our church, our environment, our school are just the most wonderful place to raise a child, and I have six children to prove that. And we were locked in the courtroom, barred by three policemen, and told. And the DHS head lady started calling out the names of children that were also there to testify on behalf of our church. And we knew that something was going on. I had no idea that they were after my babies. I have two little babies in diapers. I called my husband to see, you know, what's going on. Are the children okay? And he at my first phone call, they were okay. But 5 minutes later, I called him again, and he said, it's too late. They've got us. And he was on the side of a freeway, and I somehow was able to reach him. They let us out of the courtroom, and I was able to reach him. And I was across the four-lane freeway, and I ran across there thinking, you know, all these cops and helicopters and FBI and state troopers were all just massively surrounding my children. I said, well, you know, if they're going to shoot me, they're just going to have to, because I got to get to my babies. They kept me away from the vehicle. My kids were screaming. I was crying. I ended up on the ground just in horrible torment, thinking, you know, they're never going to let me have my kids again. My husband handed me my baby, and he was able to film all this by God's miracle. And you know, all these people were standing around staring at us, laughing at us, giving each other high fives. My children were horribly tormented, screaming for me. And I can't express, I would hope that anybody with a heart would know that this is horribly unjust.
Well, now the thing, folks, is, you know, you said that they had guns. Now, what was the reason for the guns? What were they looking for? Why would you bring to a place that had women and children, why would you bring guns and weapons? You know, what were they looking for?
They're just, you know, they want to let everybody know who's got the guns. They know we don't. My husband would like to.
Okay, John, you want to talk about that, elaborate a little bit more? Hold on 1 second. I'm going into break, and after the break, we'll be back with John's response to this after the break here on Truth Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Phone Show. If you want to call in, 718-508-9513. We'll be right back after this break.
Maybe you heard me offer the video, The Great Civil War Debate, and because VHS is no longer in style, you thought, well, I'll wait till that's available on DVD. Well, it is now. I have that on DVD, and I'd be glad to send you a copy. A DVD copy doesn't cost very much, and I'd be glad to send you The Great Civil War Debate DVD just whenever you ask for it. And our policy is we give, you give. It's just that informal. Whatever it is you feel you'd like to contribute to Truth Radio, just ask for the Great Civil War Debate when you write in. If you have any interest in the Civil War at all, this is a debate you just have to hear. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California. And the zip code is 93444. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. Years ago, a man by the name of James Collier made a video called Was It Only a Paper Moon? That VHS video has been in the library of Truth Radio for many, many years, and I have a DVD of it ready to send to you if you'd like to view it. If you've never seen Was It Only a Paper Moon, I promise you, this is a mind bender. This is something that will really make you think. And I'd be glad to send you one if you request it. Our policy is we give, you give. So just give us a chance to give, and we'll be glad to send you this in the mail. Our address, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, zip code 93444.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Hi, welcome to the Deanne Brody Show. And we're back after the break. And we're here talking about the taking of children. And the issue that happened in Arkansas with Pastor Tony Alamo's ministry. And I left off before the break. I was going to John. John, you want to give your analysis of what was going on?
Yes, ma'am. It was when you brought up the question about why would 100 agents have to storm our property with automatic weapons and combat gear? And why would they think they'd have to do that? And I would want to say that they've been raiding our church really for about 40 years now, and they've raided it many times, probably 20 times. And in all the raids they've ever done, they've never found one weapon. So these agents knew full well that there was no weapons on our property. There never have been. There's no guns. There's no knives. We don't allow our children to play with pop guns or toy guns. And yet they storm these properties because they, the government, and the media as well, I'm talking about the media at large, want the public to think that we're armed and dangerous. And nothing could be further than the truth. We're the most harmless people on the face of the earth.
Now, that was the same thing that happened back in the 90s when the first raid happened. I don't know if you were there, John, or George, but I had John Gary Peeler on, and he discussed on the program what happened in that raid just prior to them going out to Waco. Now, were any one of you there in the situation with when they went down to Pastor Alamo's church the first time and looking for guns?
I was there.
George?
Yes,
you were there.
Jane, I was there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened then? Can you describe what happened at that time?
Yes, well, of course, they had it all planned out. The first thing they did was cut all the phone lines. They stationed state troopers with machine guns at any of the residences that were, spread out. They blocked all of the cafeteria doors. They busted down doors left and right, and then they ordered us all off the property after they found that we have no weapons. And this was in February, in the middle of the winter. Women, children, entire families, they took our vehicles, any money they found. They barred us from getting food, and they ordered us off the property. We had 3 days, and I'm telling you, it was people had to leave for fear of their lives.
And they took your money. Did you ever get the money back? What was the reason for them taking your money?
You know, I don't know why. They confiscated everything. No, they did not give us our money back. As a matter of fact, they sold our property for pennies on the dollar to pay a $1 million judgment that we could have, that, you know, was illegal what they did.
Now, when they stormed it, and folks, this is what happened way back just before Waco, because the issue was, it was very interesting that they seemed to have targeted certain ministries at that particular time. And the thing that amazed me in these stories where they were sending a BATF in, and it was not Children and Family Service back then that was investigating. Now they've got Children and Family Services with guns. What's on that? I mean, how can you take women and children and say that you're designating an advanced move to protect the children, and you're scaring the women and children to death with guns in helicopters as though they're in some type of military coup? I mean, it's beyond belief. Now, when they came in that time in 1996, or when did that happen the first time?
February 1991.
Okay, they came in on February 1991. They raided. They came in and told you to go out in February. They didn't. Did they house you? Did they give you anything? Or was there anything provided for you or the children of Pastor Alamo's church? Or they just were just set out?
They ordered. They put signs on every house, every property, and said we had 3 days to leave. And no, they did not provide anything for us.
Now, after that raid, how similar was this to what happened just recently?
Well, the raid on our property.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, in Arkansas, the current raid. Was it the same? Was it similar? Or what do you feel?
Well, the allegations, the charges, you know, were different. They're always having to come up with different charges because they've never been able to substantiate any of the charges for any of the raids. So they're always trying to come up with something different. Then they change their story afterwards. And it's been the same trauma to our children each and every time.
Now, I want to ask you, too. Now, I had you on my previous broadcast. There's another 100 children that they're trying to obtain custody of, and parents. What's going on with that? Have you heard anything about that? Is that true?
Well, yes, it is true. They've listed every member of our church, all of the children that they say that the parents have abdicated their parental rights to Pastor Lamo, which is a totally, totally baseless accusation, and so they use that to say that they're going to come hunt down women and children from one end of the country to the other, just innocent children, women, and it's just, You know, we just can't stand for that.
Now, the other thing I'm kind of looking at, too, and this is kind of, it's to me, kind of bizarre, is that your children weren't on any list. They picked your children up, and you weren't on any list when this happened. Is this not right, Jane?
Are
you on any type of criminal charge list or anything like that? Did they have any type of paperwork on your children, or did they just pick your children up?
They just picked my children up. Me, my husband, my six children were not, our names were not mentioned anywhere except for that we were members. There's no charges of abuse, no allegations, and even after they took my children, they found nothing medically, physically, emotionally wrong with my children. And,
George, I want to ask you the same question. Were you on any list or anything when they came and got your kids?
Yes, they had a warrant, a court order to take my children.
Okay, now, were any of the parents arrested? Anybody arrested and charged with anything?
No, none of the parents have been charged with anything and arrested or anything like that. They just took the children basically under the guise of, as long as you go to this church, we're going to take your children.
Now, John, I want to ask you a question. Can you tell me what you felt about Pastor Alarma? Do you feel that, they're saying he's a cult leader, he's doing this, he's doing that. What do you feel about Pastor Alarma, and what makes him different than any other pastor that you've come in contact with?
Well, Deanne, I was one of those people you were talking about way back in the early 70s. I was what you would have called a hippie. And I was in the streets, and even back then, Pastor Alarma was one of the only people he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ did. He went down into the streets, him and his wife Susan, and they were preaching to the hippies who were like a lost generation. Nobody wanted us. People didn't want us in their churches. And they won all these hippies to the Lord, and they didn't want to just turn them back into the streets. And so they didn't want to become pastors. But they couldn't just turn these kids away that they'd won to the Lord back out into the same drugs and promiscuity. And so they took us in. And they didn't have any money. They didn't have any place. But they did everything they could, Tony and Susan Alarma, back then his deceased wife, Susan. And they provided everything they could with all their power. And I've seen him do this for 36 years now. I've seen him expend all of his energy and all of his power to help everyone that comes to him in need. And I've seen that over and over and over again. And that's the man I see in Pastor Alarma.
And folks, I will tell you something, too. And I'm saying this from my heart. And the reason, another reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is this. God, I'm trying to remember when it was. I've been through so much. There's been times out here, folks. I told you feds and all these people have been harassing me and doing stuff because I have documents on stuff. I've been around type of things as a whistleblower. I mean, not second, third-hand information, but seeing things and reporting it. So what they do, and as I told you, I worked inside in the courts. I had government clearances on some of the jobs. I worked in some of the top corporations. I was in some places that I may have not should have been in, and my father definitely was in those places. So anyway, over the years, I've been targeted, harassed, and ended up moving and going around. And most people that are in the media, they have real information. They, get sequentially kicked out of the media, not being able to broadcast or whatever. And because of what I do, I create my own media base. If one goes down, I'll put up three more because this is very important to me because truth needs to be out there. This stuff needs to stop. This clout, undermining people, ruining people's lives for no reason, it has to come to a screeching halt, folks. Now, again, We talk about what religion is and what God is and what Jesus Christ is. Okay? Jesus did go amongst the people. He fed them. He helped them. He went out there. There was no Bibles for him to pass out. He was just there. So you have a minister doing the same thing and he gets attacked. Okay, let's go figure what's going on here. You have another ministry down the street that's kind of connected with government, and I don't want to say any names. I'm not pointing fingers because that's not my trip here. I'm just trying to tell you something that's going on. And where I sit, where I do in my media, I'm telling you from my bottom of my heart and soul, I am very disturbed to the number of people on the street that are homeless. I am very disturbed in the situation of people not being able to get services. I'm very disturbed at the amounts of money to travel into different planes and circles in the government that are supposed to be earmarked for so-called government set-aside programs that don't go to the people. And my heart goes out when I see people walking 30, 40 miles to get to a soup spot or go and lay on a pad. Pastor Alamo was giving them apartments. Now, going back to me, I had a situation. I was in a hotel, as I am now. And I didn't know what to do because I was so ill and I had my children. I cried, and I happened to find this number because another person told me about Pastor Alamo, and I called him up. I didn't go. But the thing was, he offered. He offered to fly me from where I was out here in Illinois out to some place there to put my family up and to move and transport all my stuff under his dime. Nobody would do that here. And nobody would do that across the country. And he had not gone out there broadcasting what he was doing, and he wasn't doing it from a circle of trying to be out there because, he's trying to get a name for himself in the ministry or this and that. He was doing it from his heart. I never forgot that. I never forgot talking to David Koresh on the phone. How did I end up talking to him? Because I was sitting there one day and I was moseying around trying to break the seven seals. I was reading the Bible and going through my thing. And I happened to call him because he was working on that and I had some questions to ask. So I talked to him briefly. And then not too long after that, they came in and raided him. Why? There were African-American children in there, and there were white children, other children, ethnicities, all living there, and they were doing basically the same thing, just trying to survive and have a place to live, provided that. Janet Reno decided to go and send in tanks and napalm or whatever it was that they brought down there. And then later on, the story came out that the whole thing was because they had to get rid of two FBI agents that had some information. Now, why am I saying these things? The bottom line is this got to stop. You say there's laws on the books that people need to follow, and then they take the laws and twist it for whoever it is that they want to let out and let loose. If you're a serial killer, hey, you let them out. If there's somebody out there doing some other type of heinous crime, let them out. You take women and children and don't give them nothing or take their homes away and then give the children over to somebody else that people don't even know who those people are and what they do to the kids. I was involved, as I said before, with some people, and I was dealing with the DCFS Center in Chicago. There was a gentleman, a kid that got over there, William Sandiford, made the press. They had to shut down the whole DCFS Center because what he was doing, he was a gang inside the DCFS Center, and he was robbing the houses over there in Lakeview, and it got caught up in the news, and it embarrassed the whole center, and then all of a sudden this kid Sandiford ended up dead on the south side of Chicago. This is the type of stuff, an environment that people are throwing people's kids in. Yes, indeed, there are good foster homes out there, but then there are foster homes out there that are very much in question. And so now you have people living in apartments in Pilney, Pastor Alamo's ministry, they're taking care of their families, and then all of a sudden their kids are plucked up and thrown somewhere, and military people come in, scaring the kids half to death. What kind of trauma and drama is that on the lives of families? And why do that? Now, I had made a call to the Department of Children and Family Services or whatever was down there in Arkansas, and I talked to them, too, before we even went on the broadcast today about this. And I'm going to talk about that when we return, and I'm going to have my guests talk some more. And if you want to call in, 718-508-9513.
Those of us who are concerned about the judiciary today, about the Constitution, are sometimes arguing with each other about the issue of sovereignty. We, the people, some say, are sovereign. I am sovereign, individually, others say. And yet there's another side to this coin. Are we under a nation of law or men? If men are sovereign, then I guess we need a king to be the sovereign person. But that's not the way we're structured. We're supposed to not be a nation under men. We're supposed to be a nation under law. What is the sovereign law? David Whitney has a magnificent lecture on this subject. It's less than an hour long. I'd love to send you a CD with his lecture. Please send for it, the Sovereignty CD, and write to us at Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444. That's PO Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444. Anybody who's been around at all knows that radiation is dangerous. And certainly it would seem nuclear radiation is potentially fatal. But there's another side to this story. I have a DVD from a longstanding VHS video that will explain what a scientist who's worked with nuclear power has experienced in his life, and he calls the nuclear scare a scam. You should see this speech. You should see this DVD. I have a copy of it here for you. If you'd like it, just request the nuclear scare scam. When you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's Nipomo, California, 93444. And the post office box is 344, P.O. Box 344, zip code 93444.